Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite podcast, Girls Unscripted. I'm your host, and by now, your friend, Kate Riccio. And despite my tank top, if you are watching on YouTube, this episode is not sponsored by Miller Lite, but it could be, Mr. Miller. We are still waiting on your call. So Carolyn, unfortunately, could not be here today again because she is, for lack of a better word, just fucked up. I'm not exactly sure what's wrong with her because it's a lot of different medical jargon, but if you remember last episode, she was out because she had gotten a gum graft, and that gum graft has gone awry. She is laid up in bed. She is healing. She is on the mend. But what you guys could do is go to her Instagram at Carolyn For Real and send her a nice little comment. She needs it. For my gabbity gab today, I'm actually calling it a solo gab since I'm alone. If you listened to last episode, you may have heard that my car was stolen. Well, they found it. They found it. So the car got stolen on like Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. I'm honestly not sure. And I got a call on Friday from the police saying, Catherine, we got your car. And I said, okay. And I said, where is it? First of all, the police were telling me nothing. They were very not helpful. And they said, oh, it's in Pacoima. Now, I live in West Hollywood. Pacoima was about a 40-minute drive. They said, you need to get here in 30 minutes or else we're impounding it. And I'm like, okay, well, could you wait like maybe 45 minutes? I'll get in an Uber right now. It's like 9 a.m. I'll get in an Uber right now. I can make it there. And they go, fine, we can wait. We can wait. You just have to get here and come get it. So then luckily, before I hang up the phone, I think to ask, well, wait a second. Is it drivable? And they go, I don't know. So I say, can you check? It was like a fucking sketch. It was like I was doing improv because it was just so comical the way this conversation went. So I said, can you check? They said, I guess. So they go and they open the hood and they go, it looks like everything's here. And they say, but the only issue is that your ignition is punched in because that's how they stole the car. They go, but you can probably start it with a screwdriver. I said, officer, I'm not starting my car with a screwdriver. All right. Oh, okay. All right. If you're watching on YouTube, you will notice that Gertie just came and hopped up on the couch. She is our work dog, and I guess she's going to be joining us today. Gertie, do you think Sheena's a good friend? Okay, we'll get into that later. So then I got to the point where I was like, you know what? Just impound it. It's fine. It is what it is. So I go to the tow yard. I get my car. Honestly, you guys don't need to hear this boring part, but I got the car back. It was worst case scenario. It looked fine. Nothing was done to it. I wished it would have been like a little too... Gertie, not here. Not in front of the viewers. Please, don't lick yourself. Sorry, everyone. If you're listening, you're lucky. if you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry. The car was completely fine. They just basically took it for a joyride and like drank Monsters, ate Takis, and smoked cigs in the back seat. It's super confusing. I have no idea why they took it. And it's a mystery. It's still at the mechanic now. I don't really know what's going to happen to it, but there's the car update. It's so fucking wild. Like, how many people do you know got their car stolen and then found in one piece? It's the strangest thing. I really need to get to the bottom of this. All right, so let's get into this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules, the real reason why you are all here. We are on episode 9, and this episode was called Kiss Kiss Revenge Bang. Whoever is titling these episodes needs a raise. They're always fucking awesome. So the first scene was in James and Allie's apartment, and really the only, their new house. And really my only note here was that James picking out Allie's clothes is kind of giving Kim and Kanye vibes. Remember when Kanye West used to pick out everything that Kim would wear? Except this is a bit less problematic. But you know, James Kennedy does call himself the White Kanye, and he's really living up to his name, picking out Allie's clothes for her. Then we go to Tom's house with Tom and Billie Lee, and Billie Lee makes a comment about how she's like afraid of Ariana. And you know what? Honestly, she should be, because she chose to stay friends with Tom after he had a 7-month long affair and cheated on Ariana. Like, what a friend. What a friend. And you chose him over Ariana, so you should be scared. So if you saw in the news this week, you'll see that Ariana recently purchased a home in Los Angeles, which kind of surprised me because TikTok, a lot of these people on TikTok convinced me that she was going to end up moving to New York. And I was like, that makes sense. But she recently bought a home, I guess, in the Hollywood Hills. It was like a little under $2 million. It's really cute. No pool, so she doesn't have to worry about her future. boyfriend cheating on her in a pool. I do sort of feel like she had a hunch that this whole house storyline was coming up on Vanderpump Rules. So she was probably like, I got to get ahead of it because I am never going to hear the end of this. I need to just settle on a house ASAP so then people can't like keep coming at me and saying like, well, why don't you move? Why don't you move? Like, I think she just wanted to silence the noise. I mean, I'm sure she was going to buy a house regardless, but she kind of needed to. Although I still don't think that she needed to be the one to move out, but it's a moot point at this time. Then we see the little FaceTime with Ariana and Anne. If Ariana poaches Anne and hires Anne as her assistant from Tom, that will be fucking legend status shit. That is the ultimate revenge. I do feel like Anne is kind of like a 13-year-old in a 40-year-old's body, and I mean that in the highest regard. She's just so excited. She's like, I'm seeing Barbie, and I'm in pink, and ooh, I'm getting ready for the Eras tour. Like, she is just a happy-go-lucky bitch, and I think we all need to be a little bit more like Anne. I am interested to see how her working for Ariana will play out, but all we can say for now is hashtag save Anne. Next, we get into this scene with Lala and Tom. And first of all, I do just want to say, I like this duo. I'll say it. I like the two of them together. And Carolyn actually sent me some of her notes from this episode, and she said the same thing. So I'm not alone. She said that she really likes their vibe together. I do love how Tom called not drinking for 3 days a sober bender. And I'm definitely going to start using that. And it did feel a little strange at first to see Lala and Tom on a solo hang together. But who gives a fuck? Because Tom Schwartz was spilling the tea. So I'm just going to get right into this whole Tom and Sheena makeout thing, and we're just going to talk about it as a whole, because I will say, I think for it essentially being nothing, we spent a lot of time on it this episode, maybe too much time, but I was still drinking up the juice and the tea, and I loved every second of it. So let's get into it. So Tom drops this bomb that he and Sheena made out in Vegas while he was dating Katie, even though he and Katie were going through a rocky moment. Tom Schwartz uses this story to just be like, you know, this is just a reminder that we're all human and we all do dumb shit, I guess, to try to like salvage Sandoval's reputation. But Tom, you were never this beacon of what a good boyfriend should be. You admitting you cheated on your girlfriend in an attempt to make us softer on Sandoval. What is that? It's not like that crazy of a thing. You've been cheating on Katie for years. It's not like, look, Even I cheat. Like, we know. It would be more surprising if you said you didn't cheat on Katie. That would be news. What's weird to me is that Sheena said to Schwartz, like, remember when we made out? Like a year ago, she said that to him. And to me, that's weird because it's like, okay, one, you're married now, Sheena. Like, you have a husband and a child. Two, you're trying to regain and fix your friendship with Katie, and you're just casually joking about making out with her boyfriend while she was dating him. Now, obviously, the story was debunked by Sheena, and I do sort of believe what she said. If you remember, she said, that never happened. We were in Vegas. He tried to kiss me, but I was engaged to Shay. It was really weird, yada, yada, whatever. Sure, let's say that's true. All of that goes down the drain when it is revealed that she never once told Katie that. And I understand, because they weren't really like super fucking tight in the beginning. But the moment that Katie asked Sheena to be a bridesmaid in her wedding is the moment Sheena should have said, okay, but by the way, you know I love you guys. Schwartz tried to make out with me in Vegas. But you know what? Now that I'm saying it out loud, I love when I just, you know, like fight with myself in my head. I think that Katie at that stage in their friendship would have used that as a reason to dislike Sheena all over again. I think Sheena just always tries to like play it safe and be everyone's friend. And, you know, what do they say? A friend to all is a friend to none. And I know people have used that quote to talk about Sheena a lot. But I think that there was never going to be a good time for her to reveal this to Katie, but regardless, this should have been revealed to Katie. The last thing I want to say about the makeout is I just feel like everyone already kind of knew. I know it like didn't actually happen, but when Katie found out, when Ariana found out, when Lala found out, she had a shocked face, but Katie kind of was like laughing and smirking, and I just think that could have been like, of course he did, like nothing surprises me anymore. Or that could have been like, yeah, I fucking knew this. This is old news. Who knows? All I know is I miss I miss those old Vanderpump days when Tom Schwartz would just make out with anybody. Now he's just making out with his good old friend Sloppy Joe, but we'll get to that part. Carolyn's note on this scene was, in all caps, she wrote, Sheena was in her wedding. If I found out Rachel, who was our good friend and our podcast producer who is here right now, if I found out Rachel was like, ooh, also I drunkenly kissed Kyle, but like, why would I tell you? Girl, get out. The more they talk about Sheena and Schwartz making out, the more I feel like they all already knew. So I basically said that. Those of you that don't know, Kyle is Carolyn's husband. But yeah, I mean, you do kind of put that into perspective for yourself. Imagine being married and then someone saying like, well, yeah, I made out with your boyfriend, but it was like 2012 and it like wasn't that big of a deal. It's like, the fuck? These people are out of their damn minds. With all that being said, this scene did make Carolyn feel even more confident that Sheena has hooked up with Sandoval. I, for one, am still on the fence with that, but time will tell. And then Lala was the one that broke the news to Katie about this quote makeout that never was a makeout, but we're spending all this time talking about it anyways. And I do think that's exactly what Lala should have done. She should have told Katie right away. She should have told Katie before Sheena, because she's absolutely right. Sheena would have tried to make it a quote pretty picture, which she kind of did anyways when she and Katie talked about it at Hotel Ziggy. But like I said, I believe Sheena. I don't think it was that big of a deal. Sheena is an actress, but she's not a very good one. And I think that if she did make out with Schwartz, we would be able to tell. And her story seemed pretty accurate. Then we go to Hotel Ziggy, which it's so funny. They have like a rotation of places they go to in this show. It's like the Belmont, the Mondrian. Hotel Ziggy is like a new one. And I actually stayed at Hotel Ziggy before. But before it was Hotel Ziggy, it was just some plain ass white walled hotel. I stayed there in 2020 because, oh my God, to live in Hollywood. So I was visiting home in Pennsylvania and I was gone for maybe a week or so. And I get back to my apartment in Hollywood and I lift up my toilet seat to go to the bathroom and it is filled with cockroaches. And I called my parents. I called my parents crying. I was probably like 27 years old. It doesn't matter how old you are. Sometimes you got to call your parents crying. I called my parents crying and I was like, there are cockroaches in the bathroom. And they were like, say less. We'll put you up in a hotel for the night. Like, you need to get that shit fumigated. So the hotel that I got put up in was the hotel that was Hotel Ziggy. And like I said, it was super plain and boring. And now I'm really curious to go back there. Although every time the Vanderpump crowd goes there, it doesn't really feel too poppin', but much like the poop bathroom at the Belmont, I'm going to have to go to Hotel Ziggy now and report back to you guys on the vibes. So in the beginning of the Hotel Ziggy scene, Tom Sandoval compliments Ariana from across the pool, and it gave me the biggest fucking ick and chill up my spine I ever got in my entire life. He's obviously doing this for the cameras, like, oh, Ariana looks good. Like, he knows that's what he's supposed to say. He knows he's only supposed to compliment and say kind things about her, and it just feels like he's going out of his way to do it now, and it's fucking weird, dude. Like, just say nothing. Just say less. Then we move on to Hatgate 2024. A lot of people on the internet really had something to say about this scene where Sheena was like pulling the hat off of Joe's head and said, show your braids, show your braids. Lala actually had something to say about this in the after show and basically was like, oh, actually, no, I think it was on her podcast. Either one. Basically, in Lala terms, said, like, if you take my hat off my head, you're going to get popped. That's my property. You're going to get popped. I'm going to pop, 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 whatever. So Lala obviously didn't fuck with that either. Joe didn't fuck with that. It was weird. It was like a weird playfulness thing to me. Because on one hand, I thought Sheena was being like a mean girl. But on the other hand, her and her friend were like, laughing and hugging Joe and like, oh my God, but you're like a hairstylist, show your braids, you're so pretty. It's like, pick a fucking side, pick a lane. I also couldn't tell if Sheena just didn't like that Joe was wearing a hat or if she didn't like that Joe was wearing a Tom Tom hat. But regardless, it was a bit Mean Girls-esque. To play devil's advocate, which is my favorite game to play, Joe did kind of do some shitty things during Scandoval, and these are the consequences. People are mad at Schwartz. People are mad at you. That's life. But Joe is upset at the crackhead comments, and I've heard her mentioned this before. She said it on her own Instagram. Now she's saying it on Vanderpump Rules. And she does say that comments like that are hurtful and harmful to anyone that has ADD. Carolyn had a note on that, and she said, I did not associate ADD with being a crackhead. And I think her saying that was more hurtful to people of the ADD community. I could see why you think that, Carolyn. I definitely could. But I do understand why Joe is feeling like these girls are being bullies and that they don't like her and they're talking shit about her. But that's because they are. And they should. You are an accomplice in Scandoval. Like I said in last episode, actions speak louder than words. And one of your actions was spending Thanksgiving at Ariana's house with Ariana and Tom, knowing damn well she was being cheated on. Hello? What is up with these 40-year-old people taking zero accountability for their actions? Is that a hot take? Am I crazy for thinking that? Okay, we're going to switch gears because everybody's just a lost cause. Speaking of lost causes, though, Tom going up to Ariana like a little fucking boy asking his mom to go to his friend's house, like, hey, Ariana, I'm just like, sorry to bother you, but like, did you like happen to like look at my email? I mean, it's fine if you didn't. There's just like this email. It's like, oh my God, get a grip, dude. She obviously saw your fucking email. She saw it. She didn't answer it. And she said the second you walked over, my lawyer's handling it. And you stayed there. And you know what? He got exactly what he wanted, because he wanted to do that in front of Lala and Katie. He wanted someone to feel bad for him. And guess what? He got that, because later in the episode, that very scene, Lala said, well, you know, that did make me feel a little bad for you. Me and Katie both said we felt kind of bad for the way she was talking to you. It's like, he knows what he's doing. He is so manipulative. It's amazing. He should go on like Survivor. He'd win. Or like Big Brother. He should go on a competition show that's not the fucking Masked Singer or Special Forces, one where you actually need to be like conniving and sneaky and gaslighty and manipulative. He will win. Go on the Traitors. And my last note I have about Hotel Ziggy is that this tea girl is an industry plant, if you will. I'm not paying too much attention to this storyline at all, and I'm sorry if that disappoints you guys, but like, what is the point? What is the point? We know that they're not together. It's so obvious there's no chemistry between the two of them. It's super forced. We obviously see her later in the episode, which I'll get to, but it's just like, I'm not going to put all my eggs in the tea basket. Next scene is the four new besties go to a restaurant. That's Lala, James, Sandoval, and Schwartz. Fucking random. And I'm confused as to why Lala is all of a sudden like, hello, Sandoval. I had a great day. Thanks for complimenting my nails. Like, did I miss something? Did they leave Tahoe being that cool with each other? Like, there was zero hostility there whatsoever at all. Like, I guess they're tight now. It was, I don't know. I don't expect everyone to be a fucking bitch to him every single time they see him. But it was just kind of like, it jarred me a little bit. Like, oh, okay. I have to keep up. I have to know who's friends with who. I didn't realize Lala and Sandoval were like that. Then we go to my least favorite scene I've ever seen in my entire life. And last episode of Girls Unscripted, I said that the sexy singles pool party was the cringiest scene of Vanderpump Rules. And I have been one-upped by this fucking breathwork scene. I cannot believe he allowed someone to film him in such a vulnerable state. It kind of reminded me of, and this is kind of like a deep cut, so I hope you guys know what I'm talking about. You ever see that Juliana Huff video? Do you know what I'm talking about? Rachel, let me know if you know what I'm talking about, producer Rachel. It's like a Juliana Huff video where she's like laying on a table and they're like exercising things out of her. And she like, you know what I'm talking about?
It does look like that,
yes. Yes. Like, basically, it's like he's like gyrating on the ground. And he even says it felt like he had like an orgasm. And I don't know, when I saw that scene, I just kept thinking about the Juliana Huff exorcism compared to his exorcism. And I'm just confused as to why we're watching a fucking another wellness thing of Sandoval. I don't care. It is so obvious the show favors him. They favor him so much. It's so fucked up. Basically, my notes of this scene were just like, it looks like a demon's coming out of him. This is insane. Then he gets up like nothing fucking happened and is like, oh, what's up, Lala? Want a latte? It's like, excuse me, sir, you just died and then came back to life and now you're gonna make me a latte? Nothing surprises me about this man anymore. Nothing. Lala says something in this scene. It was in her Talking Head interview, and she says, What if he is bullshitting us all? Doesn't affect my life. But it kind of does affect your life, Lala, doesn't it? You are inviting a known liar back into your life. And I said this in a previous Girls Unscripted episode, but Tom Sandoval is gaslighting all of his friends into feeling sorry for him and trying to make them be friends with him again by doing that. And she's caught in his trap. So yeah, it is kind of affecting her life. Maybe I should be more like Lala and be more open-minded, but to me, he's on like this apology tour, which is more so an I'm a good guy and what I did wasn't really that bad tour. And he's just collecting his friends back up like Lala, left and right. And by collecting his friends, he is stealing them from Ariana. And he knows that. This is calculated. Look, I'm not like a fucking therapist. I've said a lot of things as fact this episode. Maybe he's not manipulative. Maybe he's not gaslighting. Maybe he's not calculated. Whatever. But this is just my opinion. This is Girls Unscripted after all. Unscripted. And those are my thoughts on that. Let's go to the sandwich shop. Carolyn's notes on the sandwich shop were, and I quote, don't care. And then dot, dot, dot. Okay. Kind of care. I care about the sandwiches. I care about the sandwiches too. You know who didn't care about the sandwiches? Lala. With each episode, she's just getting a little meaner and meaner towards the ladies and a little nicer and nicer towards the men. She's been spending a little bit too much time with Sheena, if you ask me. It is kind of crazy how this place looks in this episode, how good something about her looks, and the fact that it is still not open yet and it has been almost a full year. And it was fully furnished, fully put together, and we still have not seen the inside of it. Blows me away. I know they're saying it's permits, but Jesus. I did light up a little bit when Schwartz went to something about her and brought flowers. And you know who else lit up a little bit? Katie. She was smiling. She was cheesing. It kind of gave me hope. Look, I don't want Katie and Schwartz to get back together ever, but I know a lot of people on the internet do. And it is moments like that where I'm like, okay, I get it. I did think the fast forwarding thing was weird when Lala was like, can we just fast forward this? And then there was like a thing on the screen that fast forwarded. Like, I don't know why she's making the rules here, but I'm glad that they did not fast forward through James Kennedy saying that Tom Schwartz liked a sloppy Joe. That was fucking comedy. And you also got to be honest, James is right that something about her is going down the same trajectory as Schwartz and Sandy's. I thought it, but I didn't want to be the one to say it. But it's like every single thing that people were saying about Schwartz and Sandy's, including Katie and Ariana, something about her is kind of dealing with the same issues. So it really is not as easy as it seems. Then we end the episode at Sir, and it always just feels fucked up to be at Sir and not see Peter. And it is weird to be at Sir and not have a cast member doubling as a waitress serving the table. Think just times have changed, you know? So they talk about our girl Maya, the dog, of course. Gertie, do you know Maya? Have you guys ever met? No. Well, they talk about Maya the dog and how Tom basically tried to kill her. And wasn't there also some sort of issue with Charlotte, Ariana's other dog, before she died that Tom basically just like didn't give a fuck about this dog? And I don't know. I just don't see Tom Sandoval as the most caring pet owner, if I'm being honest. One of my favorite parts of the episode was when Katie and Ariana were like teasing Schwartz in front of Ken and Lisa about making out with Sheena, and Ken and Lisa just like watch. They don't stand up for him. They don't do anything. They're just sitting there in silence watching the teasing go down. They've given up. But then, okay, then you guys, another bomb is dropped by Brock that Katie fucked Max Boyens. And I think that we on Girls Unscripted summoned Max Boyens because we have been talking about him a little bit, okay? And he's back and there's drama surrounding him. Do you think that Brock and Sheena just like sit in their condo and they're like, okay, what bomb can we drop today to keep ourselves relevant? I feel like they have like little like discussions, like little meetings, like, okay, what can we say? Although I do believe that Sheena was actually pissed the fuck off at Brock. That was real. Like I said, Sheena's an actress and not a good one. And she was really mad at him. I have a serious question for everyone that is listening. And I truly need to know the answer. He has had sex with Sheena, Dana, Kristen, and now Katie. Does this man have some sort of riz that we just didn't see the full effect of when he was on Vanderpump Rules? People seem to love Max Boyens. And normally I would be like, you know, get yours, girl. Like, Team Katie, let's fucking go. But she was so adamant about Schwartz not getting with anyone in the friend group. So much so that if you watched Winterhouse, he barely even got with Katie Flutty because he was afraid that Katie Maloney would be mad at that because she was another girl on Bravo. Like, it seemed like she was pretty adamant about these rules. And now she got with Max. And I know that Max isn't on the actual show like Raquel was when Schwartz made out with her. But he does seem like he is like steadily in the friend group. There's more details about this Max Boyance night on the Vanderpump Rules after show. I'll do a recap of that on TikTok. You know where to find me. I will say when the news was broken to Schwartz about the whole Max thing, he was in disbelief. Like when he was like, Max? Max, like that, he was fucking shocked. That, folks, that is real drama. The Schwartz making out with Sheena, or did he, didn't he, whatever, who knows? That is not real drama. Max and Katie, that is real drama. All right, then Sandoval walks in with T. And how are we supposed to feel bad for him when he brings a date to Sir barely 4 months after a nationwide scandal involving your girlfriend of 10 years, your coworker, your friend, it's just, you guys know it. You know it. I don't have to re-say it. You understand the severity of this. It's fucking weird. He's weird. I don't know what goes on in this man's head. Oh, and by the way, she's 25 years old. This girl is 25 years old. That checks out. That's like the thing that he has done recently that has made the most sense to me, is go out with a 25-year-old. Also weird on Billy Lee to try to hook Sandoval up with her in the first place, knowing he's a fucking bad person to date, and she's 25. Weird. Billy Lee, you have some explaining to do. And then we end with Sheena being mad at Brock, which I talked about a little bit earlier. And honestly, you guys, that was pretty much the episode. Yeah, time really flies when you're just sitting on a couch next to a dog recording a podcast episode by yourself. Good thing I'm really good at talking to myself. I do it in my personal life all the time. There are actually times where I don't realize my roommate's home, and then I like see her in the kitchen and I'm like, oh fuck. And I will say to her like, did you hear me talking in there? I had no idea you were home. So I've started now using the excuse of like, oh, sorry, I was making a TikTok. My question of the week for this episode of Vanderpump is, are the girls bullying Joe? So if you remember, Joe did walk out of Hotel Ziggy crying because she felt like she was being targeted and bullied by the girls. But like I said, actions speak louder than words. I do think she kind of made her bed and now she needs to lie in it. So obviously that's my stance, but I've never been in a position that Joe's in, and I would like to see the other side. If anybody has any devil's advocate takes, are the girls being bullies to Joe? And my ASMR this week in honor of Carolyn is going to be one of the many things that Katie Maloney has said about Joe on Instagram. This is a caption she had. Oh, Carolyn, I hope I make you proud here. So, everybody. Fuck, this is a cringy. I hate this. This is just as cringy as Tom's fucking painful orgasm on the ground. Everybody, sit back and relax and listen to me be mean to Joe. Damn, you know what? When I read this back, that's kind of a lot. That's kind of a lot. Saying that someone's a crackhead and that you're going to light them on fire in the same couple of sentences, that's tough. If I were Joe, I wouldn't love hearing that either, but I'm going to need your guys' feedback on this episode because like I said, I just kind of feel like I was talking, but I need to know what everybody else thinks. I need to know what we think about Joe, what we think about Tom and Sheena making out, what we think about Brock dropping the bomb about Katie and Max. There's just kind of a lot of shit that happened this past episode. So if you don't know, we are Girls Unscripted Pod on Instagram. We are on YouTube. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple. You're obviously listening on one of those things if you're listening to me right now. now. And hopefully Carolyn is back next week. Please go to her TikTok at Carolyn for Real and wish her some best wishes because, like I said, she is unwell. Lastly, I just want to let you guys know that we are going to be recapping the Valley as well. Last week we did the Valley in the Vanderpump Rules episode. Now we're going to do it as a separate episode, its own little standalone episode. So I'm going to go and record that right now. And then we are going to release two episodes, and one will be the Valley, one will be Vanderpump. And let me know your feedback on that too, because the Valley's kind of crazy. And I'm really looking forward to recapping it. As always, I just want to thank you guys so much for listening. We are new, but we are growing, and we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't have people that are constantly commenting nice things and telling us that they like the podcast. I know a lot of you want us to recap Summer House, which would be my absolute fucking dream because I love Summer House, but we just don't have the time. So share this with all of your friends so we can get really big and get a lot of sponsorships and get rich and famous, and we can all quit our jobs and just focus on recapping TV shows for you. Okay, got it? You have your homework assignment. I'll be waiting, and hopefully next week we'll be multimillionaires. Until then, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm gonna go record our Valley episode now, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye.